I came to this country for my higher education after finishing high school in China. And I did not have a chance to return to the Orient until about 31 years later in 1969. And my schoolmate was so happy to see me, so they have a reunion for me. In a class of 19, 14 people show up for the reunion because we haven't seen each other so long. We got old, we got fat, and we didn't recognize each other. But they bought me a very, very lovely pearl pen for a souvenir. And they say, "Joyce, we did something that you might not approve." I said, "Now, what did you do?" He said, "Well, we collected more money than we needed for the pen, and we invested the rest in a horse race. We figure out that if the horse should win, we'll send you the ticket that you won't have to wait 31 years to come back to see us." Well, I came back to this country and I told some very pious Baptists about it. And I said, "Well, it's off my conscience because I didn't have anything to do about it. The only dilemma I face is how to pray." Well, I returned home on July the 23rd. I wanted to be home for the wedding anniversary on July the 24th. And I was just fine to go back again. I had such a wonderful time visiting my family and visiting my schoolmates. And would you believe that August the 2nd, which is slightly a week later, I received a letter from the Foreign Mission Board to invite me to go to the Orient to speak science lectures in different universities. They didn't even know that I just came from there. That's when I met Benton in Thailand. Well, this is one time the Lord beat the horse in that race. Now this week, we have been concentrating on the theme message, One Lord, Many Witnesses. And tonight, we will focus our attention to witnesses of God in this world. I would like to bring out 3 points. First of all, the size of this world. When I came to this country in 1938, I took a steamboat, and it took 21 days to sail from Hong Kong to San Francisco. That's what you call a slow boat from China. When I returned to the Orient in 1969, I took a plane, and it was just a matter of hours. We are living in a jet age, and in modern transportation devices had brought the world much closer. Unfortunately, the people in the world and a different ideology has caused it and kept it farther apart. I would like to pose this question to you tonight. How big is your world? What is the size of your world? There is a Chinese fable describing the situation. It tells about a little frog sitting in the middle of a deep well and trying to figure out what sky is like. So he came to a conclusion. Sky is round. And furthermore, the sky has a diameter about 4 feet. Why? His view of the sky, or his knowledge of the sky, is limited by the circumference of the well that he is dwelling in. Is your world limited by the boundary of your country? Is your world limited by the boundary of your state? Is your viewpoint limited by what you can see? We are reminded by our Master to lift out our eyes into the wide open field. And he said, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." We are his witnesses in this world. We cannot individually cover the face of this world, but we can certainly reach the ones in our own radius, the one within our own circle. I'm delighted to learn that the Baptist Student Ministry had turned the focus this year to a very wonderful project, that is, trying to reach the international students studying in our country. Now, I, for one, am very sympathetic to the international students because I was one of them. The loneliness, the language barrier, and all the other difficulties they face studying in a very strange land. I recall that when I first arrived in this country to study in University of Southern California, and the very first Saturday, I barely know the language then, could hardly converse in it. The very first Saturday, I was given an IQ test. I didn't even know what it was all about. And I couldn't read hardly any of it. I didn't even learn eeny, meeny, miny, moe then. So I couldn't even pick the answer by guessing. And my score... that sort of sounds familiar, doesn't it? And my score was so low that I was classified as a moron. And I also remember that I went to a drugstore to order ice cream. And Chinese has trouble V and L and N, and vanilla got all three of them. So I sit down and she said, "What flavor, please?" I said, "Vanilla, please." And she said, "I beg your pardon, madam." I said, "Vanilla, please." And she said, "I beg your pardon, madam." I said, "Chocolate, please." It was only after 30-some years that I can order my own brand of ice cream. I feel sorry for my fellow countrymen. They're still struggling with eating fly lice. Well, I try to encourage some of these Oriental students and foreign students studying in our country. I said, well, one of them is Frank. I said, "Frank, you just learn it by rote memory. There's really no rhyme or reason in the English language. For instance, the plural number for house is houses. The plural number for word for mice is mouse. Mouse is mice. Got it right. And the plural number for spouse is bigamy." Secondly, we want to talk about the screen in this world, the barriers, the curtains. We have the Berlin Wall, we have the bamboo curtain, we have the iron curtain. All those separate, not only separate the nations, but even separate the families within the nation. But we add to those barriers, the existing curtains. We add on to our pride curtain. Yesterday in the seminar involving the internationals, it was mentioned that many of the American students will look down on other students just because they are different from us. We add on the prejudice curtain. I told my students never to be prejudiced. I said, you know, where I stand on race issue, I don't even mind teaching you whites. Several years ago, one of my neighbors handed me a newspaper clipping. It says 671 Chinese have been classified white by the Boston Public School System. I said, well, that's interesting news. I wonder where the yellow went. Well, 7 years ago, my godfather was dying of cancer. In the hospital one night, he held onto my hand and he said, "Joy," he had trouble saying the S, so he called me Joy, "if God would spare my life, I would serve him. But if he would take me away, I'm ready to go." But the next morning, I had an urge to go by the hospital to see him before my class. But I decided against it because I didn't want to be upset by the hospital call. So I went on to lecture in chemistry. And at the end of the lecture, I told the students, "I would like to tell you something about my godfather. Years ago, he and his wife were non-Christians, and they're doing business in Mississippi, grocery business. And in that time, there was a state law forbidding Chinese students attending white school. So he had to send his three children to another state, I think it was Georgia, and hired a babysitter in order to attend to their education. So one day, one of the Baptist Church Sunday school superintendent came to the store and invited him to attend church. He said, "Mr. Wong, we would like you and your wife to come visit our church." You know what he told them? "My kids no go school, me no go church," he told him then. The first time Mrs. Wong attended church, the lady sitting next to her walked away. It was only through a miracle that Mr. and Mrs. Wong became Christian. And in his 15 years of Christian life, he had won more souls for Christ. He had done more witnesses than some of us in our lifetime. And I told my student, I said, last night when he held my hand and talked to me, "I have never seen a man that faced death with such faith, such courage, and such peace." Just think, some of you may be through your prejudice could have kept a man from knowing God. And then he will have to face eternity without God. And I left my student with this message. Don't preach the love of God unless you practice it. Then I left the class, skipped chapel that day, and went on to the hospital. I was so nervous I passed the street twice. When I went there, I saw him laying there very peacefully. And I had an urge to rush up to him and hug him and love him, but I thought I'd better leave him alone. He's sleeping so peacefully. But then I got a little apprehensive because he was all alone. So I came out and asked the nurse, I said, "How's Mr. Wong doing today? Where is his family?" And the nurse just bowed her head. "So I hate to tell you, Mr. Wong just expired a few moments ago." It was just the time I was telling my students about the love of God, that Mr. Wong went to be with the Lord and earn his rest. Don't preach the love of God unless you practice it. Then the third one is the solution of this world. What is the solution of this troubled world, the war-torn world, the divided world? The answer is God's love and the Prince of Peace. The love of God and our Lord Savior Christ is the only one that can unite the world. But we are his witnesses. We are his messengers. We are his ambassadors. We are the one that ought to tell, to spread the good news about his love and his peace. You know, in Easter of 1971, Dr. Peter Ray Jones and I were in Georgia speaking to International Student Conference. And one night, one of the American students came in to my room and requested to talk to me. So I took him to be one of the BSU workers, and I said, "Well, isn't it wonderful? Do pray for the conference." Turned out to be he's an atheist. And he kept me up until 1:30 Easter Sunday morning. And about a week later, he wrote the letter, describing in his letter that he been struggling with the messages he had heard, and yet he could not take a stand for Christ. And then I never forget the one sentence he wrote in his letter. He said, "Although I'm an atheist, but unlike other atheists, I recognize that I am not whole." And he said at home, he had a picture of the planet Earth with a caption underneath it. It says, "Earth, a puzzle with a piece missing." And the peace is spelled P-E-A-C-E. And then he concluded the letter saying that, "I'm sorry that I cannot come to any decision. Pray for me if you think it will help." And sign off his name. Well, I sure did pray for him. The second letter he wrote a week later.
And the opening letter is that, you'd be happy to know that I have made the decision. And he closed the letter by saying that I finally have found the piece that was missing. And I heard from him again at Christmas time. You know why he's doing this summer? A summer missionary. Last September, on the 18th of September, one of my students that I have not seen for many, many months wrote me a letter. In the opening sentence, it was the most desperate plea for help. It said, "Dear Dr. Finn, I am so desperate and helpless." And then he went on to describe something. And then he said, "My life has come almost to a full stop." And then he went on to say something else. Then he said, "I cannot even face myself." And throughout the whole letter, it was one of the most depressed, desperate plea for help. Well, I was extremely busy with teaching college and a few other responsibilities. But that night, I went on to bed. I just didn't have any peace in my heart. I feel like if I did not respond to that letter, I'd be held accountable for it. So I got out of bed, and past midnight, I wrote him a letter. And I told him of God's forgiving love, that the life is a gift from God. And I reassured him that there was a normal course for the college students to be searching, not realizing what their goal may be. And I tell him that life is a gift from God. And then in conclusion, I told him to be sure to come to see me, and I'd be happy to counsel with him. And a few days later, I saw his name on my door. They usually have a habit of signing the name on my door for appointments. And I was just so thrilled to see him. And I have a long counseling with him for 2 hours. Then the next letter came, and this one was a very cheerful one, extremely cheerful one. He finally has changed his attitude towards life. He finally is seeking for the peace, and he is entirely different tone of letter. And a few days later, I saw his name, my daughter, again, and that was in November. And did you know, only 2 weeks after that, he and his sister and his sister's fiancé were all killed in a car wreck. It's a triple funeral that day. It was such a sad thing for the father there from Malaysia, coming all the way from Malaysia to attend their funeral. And it was one of the saddest moments in my life. But just think, if we have not taken the opportunity to witness to him at that right moment, it could have been too late. This afternoon, as I was preparing for this message tonight, I was humming the tune of the hymn, "O Zion Haste." And the Spirit just moved me to tears as I recall these words. "Behold, how many thousands still are lying, bound in darksome prison house of sin, with none to tell them of the Savior's dying, or of the life he died for them to win. Proclaim to every people, tongue, and nation, that God in whom they live and move is love. Tell how he stooped to give his lost creation, and died on earth that man might live above." Well, my little son, well, he's big now, he's adopted now. When he was little, he loved cookies. So one day I thought, well, I'm going to please him, surprise him, and I bought him a nice big box of cookies of all different assortment, chocolate filled and cream filled and so forth. Oh, he was so happy. Well, I just try to see how he feels about his mother, you know. So I said, "Son, how about give your mother a piece?" And he was just 3 years old. He didn't know any better. So he looked around. He picked one broken little crumb. "Give it to me." Well, it wasn't that because I can't afford to buy a box of cookie. If I want some cookie, I certainly can afford to buy one, even with Houston Baptist salary. But isn't that what we do? Sometimes we sing a hymn, say, "I give thee back the life I owe." Don't wait till you have nothing left to give. Don't wait till it's too late to give back your life. Don't wait till the life is almost over before you're saying, I give thee back the life I owe. Friends, we are here because we are witnesses for God in this world. We are his ambassadors. We are his messengers to tell of his love to everyone in this world. When the Bible says, for God so loved the world, he does not mean just part of the world. And when Christ gave us the command, go ye into all the world, he did not mean just part of the world. We are his witnesses in this world.